Bible with you. We will have the verses up here on the screen as long as I have my clicker. We are going to be camping in, I don't have more than enough bread, but I will perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what were these things, and he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered to his father, look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fat calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. You may be seated. When I preach on this, I'm always reminded there are parents in this room that have children that are not living for Christ, which can be painful, or relatives. And Jesus tells this parable. Parable is just an earthly story with a divine meaning. About a family that had many different spiritual addresses. And in it, here are these two sons. The younger one does something that's so out of character. He approaches his father and he says, listen, I want my inheritance now. Basically, he was saying to the father, you're dead to me. Just give me mine. I'm out of here. You know, in that society, the oldest son, the firstborn, would inherit basically almost everything, two-thirds of it. The youngest son didn't get much at all. The oldest son stays there, but the youngest one says, I want mine, what little it is. And to demand this inheritance, it was unheard of. To say, Dad, you're just dead to me. He was probably a teenager. He wasn't married, and this young man thinks he's got it all worked out, and he's going to start off and do what he thinks is right. Let me say this to you, parents. Not once in this story does God say the parents did anything wrong. Now hear me out here. You can do your best to raise your kids to be godly adults, but there will come a time they have to choose for themselves. That doesn't mean we parent perfectly. Far from it. You cannot beat up on yourselves. All you can do is pray for people who are lost to come back. You can't argue people into heaven. You can pursue them and love them anyway. What did the father do here? Gave him a share. And what happened next is true of all who wander off from God. There is a pattern, the progression to sin. When one rebels against the Father, there is a progressive nature of our lostness. Once the son received his share of the inheritance, the progression of sin left him morally, spiritually, and physically bankrupt. That's what sin does. It progressively gets worse. We see this in a lot of times in counseling with people that abuse kids sexually. It starts off with them looking innocently at some pornography, and it grows and grows and grows. Listen, you cannot tinker with sin, and it does not progressively get worse. It will get worse. Ask anyone addicted to drugs and alcohol. It will get worse. I know. I've been there. Verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he took and journeyed into a far country, and there he squandered the property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. The first thing he did was to wander from the Father to a faraway land. You know, in reality, when you are a follower of Christ, there's no place God does not see you. But your spiritual address, you can wander away. And I've heard it said over and over, when you run away, you are most likely to stumble. That's true of sin. You know, God's word keeps us safe and close to the Father when we surrender to it daily. We have to surrender to his word daily. When people are new in Christ, I give them a Bible and I say, listen, you can't change yourself, but God's word will. You got to read it. You got to saturate yourself in it. The second thing that happens after we rebel against God, first we rebel and then we wander off. We let our sinful desires overtake us. We wander off. He squandered all he had after chasing things of this world while rejecting the things of the next world. He pursued all of this and didn't look for this. When we rebel against God, there is no assurance of protection or provision. Because many times he lets us hit rock bottom. When a believer wanders off from God, they face a famine of spirituality. They are missing out. They are missing out on the living water and the bread of life. When you wander off from God, you will experience a famine, because God is the living water. He is the bread of life. So when you wander off from God, you will experience famine. And that spiritual famine led to a Jewish man who would never debase himself to feed the most disgusting, vile, and sick animals on the face of the earth, the pigs. And what that lead to? Man, I wish I could eat their food. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Notice what happens when you wander away from God. People will abandon you. You will be accepted by your so-called friends as long as you have money or something to give them. But once that dries up, you are all alone. You're all alone in the own pit that you've created. When you wander off from God and you wander off from fellowship of a family, you will be swallowed up. You will experience famine. And the world will abandon you. You'll be accepted when you have things to offer, but when it all goes bye-bye, there are no friends left. I want to pause a moment. I want to look at another person in this story. I have no idea why this story is called The Prodigal Son. I've wrestled with this for years. It should be called The Prodigal Sons. You see, God relates to us spiritually, and the other brother was just estranged from the father as well. Even though physically he was close to the father, his heart and mind were far off. When the younger son came to his senses, the father welcomed him back, which angered the older brother. Verse 25. Now this older son was in the field. And he came and drew near to the house. He heard the music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, what were these things? And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry. He refused to go in. That's a spiritual address term. He was angry and refused to go in. The brother was not near the father. He refused to go into fellowship. He was there the whole time. He wasn't any closer to the father as the other son who wandered off. And he said this, look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, notice the terms, came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. The older brother had no idea this. The younger one that came back, and there was a response to the brother's return, and the father's joy tells us a lot about his heart. It appears the older brother became bitter in his heart to be left behind to work the land on his own. And the work on the property that he would inherit was not a blessing in his mind. He just thought all the time, probably, he's getting away with that in a foreign land while I'm here working. At some point or another, he became angry for all the work he produced, and his brother got to go have fun. Listen, that brother wandered off as not having fun. But that's what we perceive. You know, you and I can resent people sometimes and let things crowd into our heart that shouldn't. We can resent people from doing too much at the church, not enough, somewhere in between. We do this because our identity isn't in God the Father. It gets caught up in what we do, or we start making comparisons with other people. The brother was unable to celebrate due to his inability to know the Father's heart and what was important to him. Those who are close to God care deeply about the loss like the Father does. Those who are close to the Father's heart care deeply for him. Those who don't say things like, I'm worried about lost people coming here because it's going to change my church. Hold on. We're called to go. We're called to make disciples. Where's our heart at? You know the Greek word for loss means a thing that is not yet claimed? God sees lost people as something that is not yet claimed. And as I said, this whole chapter is about the lost, who God cares for deeply. Doing church does not interest Jesus. Arguing over who gets to do what in the church is like disciples arguing over who's going to be first in heaven. We can get caught up in functions. We can get caught up in activities and forget our sole purpose to be a church is to make new disciples. Our focus is to be outward for the lost, which I love to see here how the Father did that. The term lost should not be a derogatory term on our lips. The term lost is not a derogatory term. It means people are of great value, for they are worth the life of Jesus. The Father sent his one and only Son to make things right with humanity, and Jesus told many parables about the lost being saved. No matter who you are or what you have done, I pray that you come to know Jesus. Even the ones that attack and are angry, I always pray that they are in fellowship with Jesus. Because when we attack one another, we're not in fellowship. We're having a prodigal season. The older brother's address was far from God because his heart wasn't in tune with the father's heart. Those who are deeply in love with Christ should be seeking the lost. In this parable, the father is symbolic of the God the Father, and we see the great lengths he goes to pursue the lost. It's a celebration when any person repentantly returns to God, and it is not a time to rehash what they did wrong. We're just supposed to give that up. Yeah, they wounded me, but I'm not going over that over and over in my mind. I want to be like God, and I want to be thankful that they're in fellowship. That's not to say people don't wound us deeply. But we have no right to judge or hang on to that, because God says, I've removed that as far as east from the west. I'm just glad my child is home. I'm glad when I get to pray with people and they learn to retrust their life or come to Christ for the first time because there's a new work that's happening. We don't beat up on them. We love them. It's a sharp contrast between the mercy and grace of the Father and the self-righteous resentment of the older brother who said, I never disobeyed you. I work hard for you. Never once did you give me anything. In fact, the brother called the younger brother, this son of yours, because he had no love for him. He was dead to him like the son treated the father. The son said, you're dead to me. And the older brother says, yeah, and you're dead to me. You know, when I look at this, the younger son is kind of like a tax collector, a sinner in Jesus' parable, and the older brother represented the Pharisees who clung to religions, who clung to rules, who clung to doing church. The longer we're Christ followers, the easier it is for us to lose passion for the lost, to lose passion for the ones we once were. No longer we follow Christ, the more our identity is following rules or how we serve faithfully in church. We identify ourselves with things that Jesus said, no, that's identity theft. You're a follower of me. And to follow me, you have to go with me because I pursue the lost. You know, the key to unity in any church is the unifying desire to make more disciples and to humbly find ways to do it. It's not about us. It's about them. Jesus pursues the lost. We can be saved so long we forget the despair, the hopelessness of not knowing Jesus. Out there are people that are longing for the scraps of pigs. I don't want to make my way around them. Sometimes we begrudge those who wander off from God or know the truth, and they go on their way. We can feel frustrated when others maybe are not growing in their faith as we perceive, or we say things like, oh, they're just in a different place. Like we've accomplished anything yet. That's pride. That's not love. God is patient. He's patient with me. We have no room to judge. You see, at times we're not as close to the Father's heart as we think we are. Love should motivate all we do. For if it doesn't, the evil lies there in our hearts will replace it. The deceiver will whisper in your ear, that person doesn't like you. You should argue with them. Or they whisper in your ear, you're fat in front of the mirror. Or they whisper in your ear, you've got nothing to give. All these lies keep coming, and then we act on them. Jesus says, do you know how much I love you? I'm like the father. I stand on the hillside and I'm watching for my boy to come back. He says, I love him. Love should motivate all we do, or we will have disunity in this church. And then the evil one wins. I love the example of the younger brother here. Oh, Lord, I hope this is my humility. Father, I've sinned against you in heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. We're not worthy. All we deserve is hell. But by grace and mercy, we get heaven. Amen? The father interrupts him. I love his heart. Stop talking. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. Put it on him. Robe of righteousness. Put a ring on his hand, the signet of the family. Put shoes on his feet. I want him to run out and go after other lost people. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, because that's what they do in heaven. For this was my son. He was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and he is found. I love lost people because I haven't forgotten how sick it feels to be out of fellowship, how it tears families apart. For this my son was dead and he was alive again. He was lost and found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son in the field, he came and drew near the house. He heard the music. He called one of the servants. What's going on here? Your brother has come. Your father was killed, the fatted calf, because you have received him. With a submissive heart, he said, Dad, I have nothing to offer you. I have not honored you. I have not glorified you. I was wrong. Treat me like a servant. I'll wash feet. I'm not going to argue about who's the greatest in this church or who's greatest in heaven. I'll wash your feet. Give me feet washers for a church and we'll change the world. Dad, I'll do anything. What does the father do? Cuts him off. Shh, shh, shh. He quickly forgave him and welcomed him in. The heart of God is so beautiful. We know this instinctively, but do we really know it and show it? Do we want to deeply emulate it ourselves? Spiritually address speaking, God is watching for us to ever draw near. We all have a ways to go if we're honest with ourselves. Something else can be often overlooked in this passage. While the son was far away, the father saw him, because the Lord is always looking for the lost. He rises up out of this. He's looking for the lost. That is what the church is to do, to rise up out of doing church and look for the lost. I see you. Can I take you to lunch? Can I have a coffee? As totally surrendered followers of Christ, our eyes must always be looking for opportunities to go to the lost. And when the father saw him, he ran. This was culturally improper. An older landowner does not run. He hiked up his robes and he ran. You should care little about what people think about you when it comes to pursuing the lost. Run to them. Serve and love them. And if there's someone beside you that's more worried about arguing or doing church or doing things like that, pray for them. But get after the lost. I don't want them eating the scraps for pigs any longer. There'll be other churches, maybe even that disagree and judge us. I would rather err on the side of the Father's heart. I don't want to be known for a church about what we're against. I want to be known what we're for. And if we are for unity, love, compassion, grace, in seeking the lost, there needs to be unity, work done in this body just like any other body. The Father saw, he ran, and he embraced, which means to fall on his neck in the Greek. He clung to him. Man, I miss you, son. You have no idea how much I love you, son. What does God do when a prodigal returns? He clothes him in a robe. He puts his approval on him like a signet ring. He shods their feet with shoes so they can go out and reach the others. Newly lost people, they are lost magnets. Unlike us fat and happy and old-time Christians that would rather argue about the color on a wall. It's symbolic of the celebration in heaven of all the angels. When someone returns to the Lord, the son was spiritually dead but was now alive, lost but now found. He addresses just how far, even when he lived with his dad, how far the older son was, even when he was next to his dad, spiritually and emotionally, his address was far off. You know, the world is full of those lost in the wilderness of sin, the darkness, dead to true life and God. They're wandering around like zombies. I pray as a faith family, we unify towards a common vision of seeing the lost saved and growing in Christ. I pray that we would hunger and thirst for repentance in our own lives and the lives of others. I pray as a church we are outward focused, willing to run to those needing hope and grace. I pray as a church that I don't get 16 people to prayer, I get 32 next time. Because they're passionate about something. The one thing we're about to do. The one thing we're called to do. I pray our hearts aren't caught up in doing church or isolating ourselves from the roughness of the world. I pray we aren't privately whispering about each other or finding ways to and not be unified. I pray that we are a body that is known for its love. Let's be honest with ourselves right now. In all of us, there are prodigal thoughts. There are prodigal inclinations. And maybe even seasons. Let us not have pride blind us. Let us have love that compels us. First John 3:18, dear children, do not love with word or tongue, but with actions and truth. You and I have heard this all from a young age. First John 3:18. You've probably heard it said this way, for they'll know we are Christians by our what? Our love. Let us love. Will you love a pastor that's prodigal at times? Will you love one another that maybe inadvertently hurt you and forget running it over in your mind and just love them? I heard a pastor say a long time ago, and I've never forgotten, it's one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life. He said, Lord, let people hurt me so deeply that I'm able to pursue them with such profound love, it breaks them. It's okay when people wound me because I want to use it for love. Dear children, do not love with words or tongue, but with actions and the truth. Let's pray.